Thanks for being here today. I'm so grateful that you've joined us. Don't miss our Palm Sunday morning. Annabeth Havner, who has a master's in Hebrew from Hebrew University in Israel, will be here to walk us through at 9:15 and 11 a Passover Seder meal. If you've never been a part of that, I'm telling you, it is so cool because you get to dig deep into how our Christian roots run deep into Judaism. And when you get to the part of the afikoman inside of a Seder service, I promise you, you sit there and it's like, boom, never saw that coming. And so make sure that you join us at 9:15, 11. It's one of those you want to grab friends, family, be a part of Palm Sunday here at Sugar Hill Church. Can you believe it's just 2 weeks away? I mean, that's just crazy. I love that we're already here, and hopefully it'll be warmer. It's stinking freezing out there today. I mean, it's ridiculous. We're in Georgia, for goodness sake. So I want to jump straight into the text today and talk with you about why. I've had the privilege of being the pastor around here for 12 years. Those of you who've been around the whole time, I cannot believe you put up with me the first 5 or 6 years. Oh, my gosh. This past week, I went back and looked at some of my notes. I was horrible. I'm still not very good, but I was really bad back then. And y'all stuck with me. I'm so grateful. I can't believe that y'all let me hang around here. I would have never guessed I'd have been here 12 years, and I could have never imagined the church that the Lord has built here. And I am so grateful for all that he has done and for all that you have done and for allowing me this privilege. Thank you so, so much. If you have your Bibles or an app or just watch on the screens with us, I want to talk about why today. Why are we the kind of church we are, and why are we striving to be the kind of church I believe the Lord is calling us to be? And like Pastor Bobby said, the question isn't so much for us why as much as it is, but say, yeah, why not? Like, why not us? And I would say to all of us, take today and make it highly personal. Don't allow today to be one of those sermons where you think, okay, Chuck's talking to the church, and forget that you are the church. And so this is designed to be a highly personal sermon. I told Bobby on the way up, I said, man, I got caught up at the 9:15 service and forgot we started at 9:15. Thought we started at 9:30. I'm looking at the clock, and I thought, all got all kind of time, and I preached for 57 minutes. Okay, that was just a bad on my part, and so I'm sorry. I just totally blew that. I have an alarm set on my watch at 12:02. It is now 11:38. Go. We have a baptism at the end of the service, and I would just say to you, some of you today may have heard Chester's story or maybe you heard Barrett's story, and you think, man, I'd like to get baptized. Well, today is your day. And so somewhere during the service, if you decide, hey, I think I'd like to be baptized when this guy's getting baptized at the end of the service, we have everything you need, shorts, T-shirts, hair dryers, towels, everything you need. And I'll promise you, it'd be our honor to let you experience the joy of fulfilling in your life God's calling on your life. And so if you'd like to be baptized today, all you have to do is head to that exit sign to your right, and when people see you walking there, I promise you, they'll step up and say, hey, can I help you? Would you like to get baptized? They'll walk you back and show you everything you need. Deal? Are you with me? And if you say, okay, that feels weird, no, it's not. It's the Bible says, here's water, what hinders you? Let's go. All right, so if you'd like to get baptized, you want to nail that down, today is the perfect day to do that. Acts chapter 3, watch this. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. Now, this is Peter and John, two radically different people. Peter, kind of ready, fire, aim, loud mouth, out, lied, hadn't planned anything in his life. He's just running hard. John, on the other hand, probably starches his boxers and probably got, you know, presses his jeans. And this is kind of a picture of me and Bobby, honestly. I mean, like, John's kind of guy, like, you know, we're on the way to church. We need to be on time forever. I mean, listen, we're Jesus' disciples, bro. We can't be late. Peter's like, let's just stop and get a caramel macchiato. It was no big deal. You know, and then on the way, they're running late. They bump into somebody on the way into Jerusalem, and Peter spills it on his shirt. And John is like, see, that's Satan trying to tell you we need to be in a hurry. Peter's more like, dude, his character. I got it. You know, and so they're on the way at 3 o'clock, probably running late. Bobby, does that sound familiar? Bless the Lord. And so, as they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was carried in. Now, get this. This guy comes to the gate they call Beautiful every day because he has never walked before. Every day he comes and he begs because he does what any of us would do, beg for money. We see it all the time around Atlanta, right? People, I don't know what to do, so I'm begging for money. Some of you, like you break out, you know, a fiver and throw there. Some of you are like, you know, and it's just how we see stuff. I get it. All right, but it goes on. And by the way, if you're going to Israel with Bobby and I in November, we will preach literally at this very gate that's still there in the wall, the beautiful gate. And so they go by the beautiful gate, and each day he was put at the temple gate, the one called the beautiful gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. Now, I want you to see the nuance of this. The man who has nothing is sat every day by the gate where people go into the gate by the thousands to go to the church to pray, so he's there. Now, watch this. He's not like coming out of an Atlanta Hawks game where you got a mix of whatever. I mean, he's there begging from people going to church. Are you with me? So as he's there, he's begging, and when he sees Peter and John in verse 3 about to enter, he asks them for some money. Well, of course he did, right? It's like, man, look at here, I've got a need, I need some money. Well, fortunately, this guy has run across Peter and John. Surely they're going to help him. He's two of Jesus' disciples, right? Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter says, look at us. Now, in every version that you find scripture in, you find an exclamation point at the end of that, right? So what you see is Peter saying, hey, look at us! And I'm sure John's like, bro, calm down. Like, you can't just blow off something like that and say, let's have a class at 5 o'clock next Sunday. We need a plan. You can't just do, Peter, you're killing me, man. We need a plan to reach these folks. You can't just pop off like that. And Peter's like, what? What? It's no big deal. Here, I'll let him have some of my caramel macchiato. It's no big deal. You know? So there the guy is asking what he thinks he needs. Peter and John are saying, hey, look at us. Peter says, look at us. He says it loud enough for everybody to see. And at that point, you wonder, well, has Peter just got like the ego of a Sunday afternoon TV preacher? Is he like, hey, look at how good we are? But Peter then says, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. I mean, Peter just breaks out some generosity on him. He's like, I don't have what you've asked for, but I tell you what I do have. I'm going to give you what I have. Now, the history behind why this happens is that back in the Gospel of Mark, there's a story of Jesus hanging out with his disciples, and a lady comes in to anoint Jesus. Now, you might say that's a big deal. Why would she do that? Well, it was common day that if you were a guest in someone's home, after you'd walked through the streets of Jerusalem in a place where you didn't bathe much, I mean, that you would be anointed both your feet and your head, and that would clean you up in preparation for the evening, right? So Jesus is there. This lady walks in, and the Bible says she brings in a jar of ointment that's worth one annual wage. So let's say you make 80 grand a year, it's worth 80 grand, right? So she takes this, and if it had been mine, I'd have taken a Q-tip, dabbed it in, and hit Jesus on the forehead and said, boom, I did what I could. But she breaks the seal on the whole thing, pours the whole deal on Jesus. And Jesus is just receiving it, right? About that time, Judas and the disciples get all ticked off, and they scream at her and say, hey, you should have sold that and used the money to feed the poor. Now, can you imagine how this lady feels? So, like, by the way, this is exactly what happens. This is why ministry is messy. You go do what you think you're supposed to do, and there's always somebody tell you don't do it, right? I mean, there's always somebody. And of course, it would come from Judas, right? And so Judas is like, you should have done that, as if he was handling things well. Just saying. And Jesus looks back at the boys and says, hey, leave her alone. She's done a good thing for me. And then he says, there's going to be a memorial of greatness to this woman wherever the gospel is preached, for as long as the gospel is preached. Now put that one on your resume. Jesus said there's going to be a memorial of greatness to me. And then he says, why? Because she has done, are you ready for this? She has done what she could. Listen to me, church. Jesus is not asking you to do more than what you can, but he is pleading with you to do all that you can. So Jesus, back to Peter and John, Peter doesn't have any money. He's a rough cussing fisherman that left that work to go follow Jesus. Now watch this. There's these three phrases that come along with the gospel story. All right. One of them is called justification. We just sang about it, right? Justification is when I choose to give my life to Jesus, and because all that Jesus has done, he makes me right or justified in my relationship with God, which means all the bad that I've ever done, he wipes away and makes me and God good, and only Jesus can do that. Justification. Once that happens, I get the gift of the Spirit of God within me, and it begins a process called sanctification. Sanctification is when the Spirit of God is working in me. Watch this, and pay attention. You ready? Look at this. Is when the Spirit of God is working in me, making me more like Christ day by day. Now you say, Chuck, based on like just what I know about you, Lord needs to speed the timetable up a little bit. Are you with me? But here's the thing. We all grow at different paces. And part of the problem with American church is when people don't grow at the rate we want them to grow, then we blame them for something for not being as good as they're supposed to be. But I promise you, we're on God's timetable, not the church's. Right? So we're growing to be more like Christ. And then when we die and heaven is ours, then what happens is to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And what we have there is glorification, where now we become perfected like Jesus and live with him. Justification, sanctification, glorification. You with me? That's an oversimplification. But Peter, having already had justification, where he gave his life to Jesus, now is living out sanctification, becoming more like Jesus. So running late on the way to the church meeting, he sees a man in great need who offers nothing for the church, probably hasn't bathed in months, stinks, and has got nothing, and he's on the way to the church. And typically what people would do is look at a guy like that and say, we have a committee of people that care for people like you. I'll send them. Well, you know, I know a guy who loves people like you. We'll send him back. You don't understand, we're big deals in the church. We're two of Jesus' disciples. We're going to the temple. After church, we'll come back and deal with you. No, Peter looks at him and says, hey, look at us, and says it loud enough for all the people around to say, what in the world? And so the Bible says, well, listen to this. This is what Peter does. I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have in the name of Jesus Christ of the Nazarene. Get up and walk. Now, can you imagine how fresh that is? Not, hey, here's a fiver or here's what you might need, but I'm going to give you what you need, which is you need to be able to walk and you need to be able to know God's power in your life. Can you imagine the guts it took for Peter to get out of line, walking in the gate beautiful, walk over the guy that nobody cares about, all they know he begs, reach down with his right hand to touch him, which, by the way, would have been considered unclean in that time, and he would have had to spend hours in ceremonial washing. But he reaches down, touches the guy, and says, I don't have what you think you need. I'm going to give you what I know you need. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk, grabs him by the hand, and has enough faith to pull him up, believing that it's not his strength, but the power of God working within him, and the dude stands. Come on. Now watch this. The man jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then, walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. They didn't just do this and leave this guy out here. They clung to him and brought him to the church. Can you imagine what the church people thought? He's dirty. He's nasty. He stinks. He doesn't belong here. If you haven't seen the movie Jesus Revolution, you need to go see it this afternoon. I mean, there was a Jesus revolution that happened for real back in the 70s. I'm just old enough to have lived it. And I can remember churches that were literally voting whether they let people, kids, come into church if they were men who had hair down to their collar. Can you imagine the audacity and insanity of a church that would do that? But it happened all over America. By the way, we do the same junk today. I mean, you let a gay couple walk in here and watch how freaked out people will be. You let somebody come in here that's a trans person, watch how freaked out they'll be. You say, well, Chuck, but you don't understand. We have a nice, sweet little church. Heaven forbid we stop here as a sweet little church. Amen. Y'all are more fun than 9:15. Verse 9, all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. When is the last time you left church and you were astounded at what God had done? That you were just blown away at what God had done? I mean, I gotta be honest with you. When I heard Bear was getting baptized, I was astounded. I thought, bro, I've been praying for you for years. Like, God bless you, man. That's gutsy. Like, I need some more men that will stand up and say, I'm in. Right? I'm in. By the way, that little Chester, that little dude, you know the easiest him to do? Well, I'm in a Christian home. I'm a Christian. I mean, that's like saying you're born in a bakery so you're a donut. I mean, he was like, I'm in. I'm in. Like, some of y'all just need to truly get off your hind parts and get in. Sorry. So they all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Watch this. For all of you who are saying, yeah, but Chuck, you're all about evangelism, I'm all about discipleship, you can't have one without the other. Because if you want to disciple people, you better get them here to be discipled. And when you get them here, listen, the last thing we need to do is just take them deeper. You know what I've discovered when everybody wants to just go deeper? Is that normally they stay in a little clique and go deeper, and they never get out there and do the work of God. What I would say to you is, when you disciple well, you go out and evangelize well. And when you evangelize well, you make sure people grow up in Christ. But you got to do them both. It is not a linear chart. It is a circle. It never stops rolling. If you're the church God's called us to be. But my fear is that if we're not careful, we're going to be like the rest of the American church, and we'll just be satisfied that we have more people coming to church than we did pre-COVID, or that we pack 400 backpacks, or we go to 12 public schools, or we go to Uvalde, or we go to the Yucatan, or we go to Africa, or just, you know, we do single mom ministry, or we do a PATH project, or just all the other stuff we do. We can say, oh, that's sweet, but here's the problem. If you don't do that in the name of Jesus to give them the life-giving breath and strength of the power of God, it's all for naught. You say, well, Chuck, are you not proud of all the work we do? Well, I'm not sure pride is the right term, but yeah, I love the stuff we do. All I'm trying to say to you is this. You cannot be the church God called you to be unless, like Peter, you want to, as an individual, step into the messiness and the dirtiness and the craziness of life and love people enough to say, I don't have what you think you need, but I'm going to give you what I know you need in the name of Jesus the Nazarene. Walk! You say, well, Chuck, you know what? I'm more of an introvert. Okay. I promise you, I know introverts that are wonderful at sharing their faith. You know why? Because people love introverts. They don't seem as offensive as I am. Like, people gravitate toward Bobby. He's nice. I mean, he's just genuinely nice guy. I mean, I repel people. I mean, seriously. I get it. We are Peter and John. I mean, it's crazy how it works out. How does a guy 63 love serving with a guy in his early 40s and somehow it all works? That's just the Spirit of God. I've got so much ego, there's no other way it works. But now watch this. The Spirit of God was on Peter and John, and Peter stepped into the messiness of a guy's life that offered the church no money, no position, nothing. But here's what Peter knew. Peter knew, after walking and living with Jesus, that he could give what Jesus had given him. So you see, this guy thought, by the way, he's a picture of America today. You see that, right? Asking for everything but what they really need. We need more education. We need better government. We need blah, 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 blah. And when at the end of the day, all America needs to do is get their heart right with Jesus. By the way, if you want to see what's wrong with the church today, including this one, usually it's the pastor, usually it's the staff, usually it's leadership, because we think it's all about us, when at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is Jesus and Jesus alone. Me and you offer nothing to this world that is worthy of changing anybody's life except the power of the risen Christ, period. And when we choose to put him at the highest priority of our life, what will happen is God will do things and we'll be astounded by them. But you say, well, Chuck, I kind of like it when you're sweet and you talk about the love of God and not talk about this. Sorry, if you're going to preach this book, you get it all. You say, but Chuck, if you keep going down this road, we're not going to be the biggest church in town. Praise God. God never called me to pastor the biggest church in town. But I will not stop until we prove that I have the biggest heart in town. And if you're going to have heart for people, you're going to step into their messiness and you're going to share Jesus with them, period. Chuck, but we live in a different day where you just can't do that. That's hogwash. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell, trying to tell you not to step in and do the things of God that he's called you to do. Well, Chuck, I don't have the gift of evangelism. Well, that is not your out, bro. I have the gift of evangelism, but let me just stop and say to you, before I knew I had a gift, I had a call on my life as a follower of Jesus to tell his story, and so do you. And he gives you no out on this. You want to follow the way of Jesus, then you are going to man up and woman up. You're going to let the little boy and the little girl sit down and the man or woman of God stand up and decide to step in the messiness of people's lives. I don't care who they are, what they're in the mess of, and know that you can love them in the name of Christ and it will rub off because God can and will do all things through you if you'll let him. But it's on you to do that. You say, well, Chuck, we pay you to do this. I write a check every week to this church. We pay you to do this. Well, let me just remind you. My job is to do that as a follower of Jesus. But as a pastor, it's my job to equip you to do it. And if you're not following that method, then I'll promise you, you are not walking the way of Jesus. Period. You say, well, Chuck, I want to experience the blessing of God. I really do. Then you got to walk the way of Jesus. Yeah, but Chuck, I don't think I could ever do that. I'll never forget it. I was walking out of church, kind of the late 80s. I'm in my 20s, brand new pastor at the church. I walked out. I literally bumped into him. This is just not how you want to start a relationship with a pastor. And he asked two questions that changed my life forever. You would think somebody would say, well, tell me your name, what do you do? I mean, you'd think it'd be, I mean, this guy had the personnel, like his interpersonal skills are like razor wire. You know, and there was nothing. It was just like, hey, have you ever led anybody to Jesus before? I wanted to lie so bad. I went with, no. And then I thought, well, you know, he'd probably pat me on the head, scratch me on the chin, bless your heart, move on. But then he says, would you like to know how? Would you like to know how? And I thought, well, now I really want to lie. Like, I really want to say, oh, no, I got that. But I said, yeah, I'd like to. So, well, meet me here Saturday at 9 o'clock. What? Are you on crack Saturday morning at 9 o'clock? So I meet him, right? And so we head out about 10 o'clock. Before we go, we're sitting in his car, and he is like praying down the stars, like praying the Holy Ghost falls on us. And I'm like, whoa. I mean, I have no idea what's going on. We go to the first house, cold call, know nothing about these people. He rings the doorbell, new neighborhood. And he, again, this guy has no personal skills at all. He looks at them and literally says, very first thing he says after hello, do you know for sure if you were to die, you go to heaven? Whoa. I mean, it's like, whoa, warm them up a little bit, bro. And the guy said, no. Would you like to know? Sure. I watched this guy lead a couple to Christ, and we're on our knees around their kitchen, around their little coffee table. He's praying. These people are giving their life to Christ. Well, I've never seen anything like that in my life. We go to the next house. Same thing happens. Go to the third house. Same thing. I've seen people saved in three homes in a row, and I'm thinking, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. I didn't know this happened like this. Like this guy, I mean, he's like the second coming. This is Billy Graham on steroids. Right? I mean, I'm thinking it's all him. It's all in his, he's got the right touch, right? We're on the way to the fourth door, and he says, I'm going to ring the bell. It's your turn. Whoa. No. Not me. This is what you do. And he said, well, you're going to be really embarrassed. Can I ain't saying a word? I thought, yeah, I bet. He rings the doorbell, and you couldn't make him talk. One of the biggest humans I've ever seen in my life came to the door. Barrett, he's taller than you, but he's got the stuff, right? And he's wearing overalls with no shirt on. And I'm not making this up. He's got a cigarette in one hand and a bud in the other hand, and it's not even noon yet. And I'm thinking, why me? Like, why couldn't I get a sweet little couple? Like, why couldn't I get the Purdue's? No, I get Man Mountain here, right? And so I'm trying to remember. I thought I didn't take any notes. I was just kind of in the moment. So I butcher the presentation of the gospel. I have no idea to this day what I said. I just remembered one phrase that I heard this preacher say, and I thought, this will make me sound like I know what I'm doing. And it was this word: does this express the desire of your heart? I mean, that sounds smart, doesn't it? I mean, to this day, I never use it. But I, at the time, I thought I'd go with it. And the dude looked at me and he said, yes. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I thought, I couldn't have gotten saved from that. And he said, yeah. He said, can you come and tell my wife that? I'm like, yeah, sure. So I tried to remember what I said. I totally butchered it again. I got the same words. Does this express the desire of your heart? Yeah. Pastor finally talks, says, let's pray. We get on our knees around the coffee table. Chuck, lead them in the prayer. I'm like, what? Man, I can't even remember it. I butchered it again. They pray. They're both crying. And then the pastor decides now he's Chatty Cathy. So now he steps in. He says, hey, tomorrow morning, Chuck and his wife come pick you up, and he's going to baptize you. What? Bro, you should have checked in with me first. I have a pickup truck that's a two-door. It's got a bench seat. They're going to ride in the back. I mean, these are two extremely large humans. You know, my wife drives a Mazda RX-7 at the time with two seats in it. We don't have children. This is not good. He said, well, just go by the church, pick up the church van. So I go pick up the church van. I go pick up Mr. and Mrs. Mountain, bring them back. At the end of the first service, they're sitting there, and the pastor gives the invitation. This is when y'all walk forward, you know, and everybody wore coats and ties. And here comes Mr. and Mrs. Mountain, and I look at him like, oh, me of little faith. And I said, tell me why you're coming. He said, dude, you told me to. I'm like, okay, God, I got it. So, you know, it's like, okay, the pastor says, Chuck, so I'm baptizing him. Y'all hang around for the next service. Nobody taught me how to baptize anybody. So I'm in the water back in the days where you wear a white robe. You're standing in the water, and the water's pretty high, I noticed, and the singers in the choir in the front row right behind the little glass where the water is. I'm getting a little concerned. So, you know, I'm not the smallest guy in the world. And then Mr. Mountain comes in, and it's like, oh, dear Lord. And so I thought, how am I going to do this? Nobody told me to tell him to bend your knees like you're going to sit when you go down. Like when you see people baptized back here, we have a little seat for them, you know. But we didn't have that. And so I didn't know. So I take him down. And I knew what to say. I just didn't know how to do it, which was buried in Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. I take him down, buried in Christ in baptism, and his feet fly up. And his head went down. So mine sounded like buried with Christ in baptism. So I finally get Mountain up, and I think he's going to walk out, but he stays in the pool, and here comes Mrs. Mountain. Now, let me just say to you, this is a large woman. Anyway, she comes down, and now the pool's got me, Mr. Mountain, and Mrs. Mountain, and it's spilling over the glass onto the men singing in the choir. I mean, I bet it's the last baptism I'm allowed to do. I take her down, same problem, feet come up, raised to walk in newness of life. I get done, and I thought, this is the most amazing thing I've ever experienced in my life. I cannot believe that the God of all creation let some knucklehead like me be a part of it. And I haven't stopped since. But at the time, I spent most of my life on a backhoe putting in water line and sewer line and storm drain around Gwinnett County. I was a contractor. I wasn't doing this for a living. Matter of fact, I promised God I wouldn't do this for a living. I hate preachers. I mean, not hate them. I mean, just like they bug the snot out of me. But I knew then I'd been part of something that was wildly unusual, like Spirit of God unusual. And I don't ever want to get over that. But here I am, a pastor of a wonderful church, doing all kind of wonderful things, that has one or two people out of the thousands of people that come to this church that would even dare tell somebody about Jesus. And that's why we decided tonight at 5:00, I want to give you 4 ways to intelligently share your faith in this culture. I promise you, there's no music. This is not, you know, prayer time. This is not food time. This is not fellowship. We're going to hit it hard at 5. You walk out the door at 6:15 in the chapel, 5:00. On national average, Pastor Bobby, they say 3% of your adult and student attendance will actually ever try to share Jesus with somebody. So if you took that, that means about 39 of our folks would actually try that. That's about how many people are registered for tonight, right now. Surely we're better than the average, aren't we? Or maybe we're not. Maybe all of us are just so consumed with whatever we're doing in life, and we're good just coming to church and playing. We're good with that. And I just say to you, man, I'm not good with that. I'm not good with that at all. Not when that guy sitting by the gate, beautiful, represents people all over this city. I don't know. Maybe that guy was sitting there wrestling with his pronouns. Maybe that guy's sitting there, he's trying to figure out who he is. But I know this. It's time for Christians to stop screaming at people about what's wrong with them and step into the messiness of their life with the power of God, of the gospel, and let Jesus deal with their messiness, because it's not on you. You say, well, Chuck, I can't save anybody. You're right. I can't either. But I can share with somebody, because I am not ashamed of the gospel. He saved me. I can give away what he gave me, and so can you. But until we decide to take this seriously, we're just playing church. And sitting in this room for an hour a week without going out there and letting the world know what Christ has done for you is a sin-filled life. Chuck, that's harsh. You doggone right it is. I wish I could make it harsher. Because honestly, folks, we got to stop playing. We got to stop thinking the goal is just to get deeper. I want to go deeper too. But when I go deep enough to know that I'm supposed to share Jesus, I need to have more people to go deeper to tell them about Jesus. Let me wrap this thing up. Are you ready? That verse that's on the dwell packets out of the book of James says, don't just be hearers of what God says. Go do it. I mean, think about how simple that is. I mean, we've so overcomplicated it that some of you are thinking, yeah, but Chuck, I don't know the Bible like you do. I didn't know it when I talked to the mountains. I didn't have a clue. I couldn't tell you the Roman road back then to save my life. I didn't have a single scripture memory. What I knew is this, what Jesus had given me, I could give away. I don't have silver, I don't have gold, and I don't have biblical knowledge. What I do have is Jesus, and I can give him away all day, every day. Well, Chuck, what happens if I get blown off? Jesus got blown off. What makes you think you're not going to get blown off? But Chuck, what happens if people talk about me? Man, you ought to be thrilled that happened. Paul says, wear that like a badge of honor, bro. Guys, listen. Join me at 5 in the chapel. Let me give you 4 ways you can intelligently, safely, gloriously share your faith in this culture for 1 hour, 15 minutes, and I'll get you out of here. But don't be satisfied playing fake Jesus anymore. If you want to get baptized, in a minute we're going to stand and pray, and I'm going to ask you to just walk over there. See Beth back there? Wave, Beth. Beth's one of the greatest people I've ever known in all my life. If today you want to settle that and you say, I'm jumping in, I'm gonna be like Barrett, I'm gonna jump in, I'm gonna be like Chester, I'm gonna get in. And you're like, but Chuck, is it gonna take long? No, take 5 minutes. Just put on a pair of shorts, a t-shirt, get in the water, dunk, you're out of here. Right? But why not? Like, why not settle this now? Why keep putting it off? Just go. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and your love. And I pray today we would take this commitment to go share you and getting the messiness of people's life seriously. And we do like Peter and John, and we literally reach out and touch people and help them and share how much you love them without guile, without condemnation, without guilt, and without shame, that we do it just like you taught us to go love people into the kingdom of God, not scream at them, not find their fault, but just introduce them to Jesus the Lord. I pray you'd give us that kind of power. Holy Spirit, fall on this room. Speak into our hearts. Cause us to be drawn to you, that we might be a people that will not be satisfied until we've seen all of Sugar Hill bend their knee and bow their head before Jesus as Lord. God, break our heart to be that church. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And for those of you today that say, I want to give Jesus my life today, it's this simple, my friend. Just pray this prayer with me right now, just like I did with the mountains. Jesus, please forgive me. Be my Savior. I accept that you died for me and you rose from the dead to pay for my sin. And I want to accept that gift as the forgiveness. I want my life to live like you, and I want to turn it around so that I can live for you. And Jesus, would you be my Savior today? If that's the desire of your heart right now, friend, just raise your hand so I can see who you are. Go ahead, just raise your hand so I can see who you are. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Heavenly Father, for folks that right now are trying to decide whether to follow you in baptism, would you draw them unto yourself and send them back to that corner when we stand so they'd have the courage to stand for you? Jesus, I'm grateful that you said that you would acknowledge us before the Father when we acknowledge you before all of mankind. So thank you for the 3 baptisms we celebrate in this hour and for the courage they had to stand before mankind and proclaim Jesus as Lord. Lord, we praise you and thank you. Let us be that church in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Come on, let's worship the Lord real quick. Come on, church.
This is my testimony.
You want to follow from Jesus?
To
go ahead and head back there.
His grace rewrote my
story.
You
want to ask the Lord to let you step into baptism, follow him, just walk back there.
By Jesus Christ the righteous.
Today you prayed and gave your life to Jesus today, just walk
this
back
is
there.
My testimony.
Today you want to settle your relationship and your testimony in Christ, just walk back there. Don't delay, just go. Don't let the crowd keep you from following Jesus, just go. You're at the gate beautiful right now. Go ahead and go. Do not settle for less, because Jesus has all of it for you. Just go. Just go. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. From death to life, from hopeless to hopeful, from helpless to helpful, from dead to alive. This is what he offers. Just go. Yeah. 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 I'm alive, aren't you? Come on, could you just praise the Lord, aren't you? Yeah. Oh, I believe. Yeah, he's not done. He's nowhere near done. He's just getting started with you. Yeah, yeah. Story, I'll testify. Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony.
This is my testimony.
Yeah. Hey, I know some of y'all have got to go. So if you got to go, pack up and go. Right? But for those of you that have time and can stay, I want you to witness this baptism. Now, I don't know what's going on back there. I don't know if anybody's come back there. I don't even know the guy's supposed to get baptized back there, right? I like most things in this church, I have no idea, right? All I'm doing is just picking a verse and hollering, all right? So is there somebody back there getting baptized? Not yet? Taylor, go ask Beth what's going on. I got to see what's happening around here. You're in trouble when you got to set the guitar guy out. That's when your plans are going awry. Yeah, so... He'll come back in a minute. And y'all are saying, surely y'all got this together. No, we really don't. No. I mean, this is a Peter moment right here, if there's ever been one. It's like, you know, just ready, fire, aim, let's go. Seems like the right thing to do. By the way, the reason why I got all fired up about today was the other day I'm having my own kind of little meditation time with the Lord. And what I discover is the Lord grabbed me by the earlobe and said, you know, Chuck, you're just way too stinking prideful about your church, because it's not your church. That's my people. That's my church. And Chuck, if you'll stop worrying about how many people show up and just let me do what I'm supposed to do, you'll find joy in this work. And Chuck, if you'll just get messy, I'll bless it. But Chuck, your church got to get serious about telling the world about Jesus. If y'all can tell, I'm on a tear about this thing. We're not stopping. I know there's hipper, cooler churches around here. What's going on, Taylor?
A couple folks back there. Bobby's with them right now.
So yeah? How about that? You know what? Barrett, you and Chester, bro, you're preaching today. Y'all preaching today. Because I promise you, y'all going to forget 90% of what I said already. But you won't forget them getting baptized. Because, see, that's the real preaching going on here today. That's the real preacher. Carla, you going to come up front row and get a front row experience of this? Because she just got baptized. Yeah. Hey, so anyway, I'm talking with the Lord, and the Lord is just beating the dog out of me about how proudful I am about our church. And I do love y'all. I love the fact that we got to mess with people. I love all that stuff, right? But boy, I'm sorry that I spent too many of my years here pastoring you like the number of people came here mattered to God. All God wants to do is fresh work in your life. That's all he cares about. And as a church, when you change why into why not, you decide that why not let Jesus be the Lord of all things? And why not get out of the way? I was serious, not just preaching, when I said the challenge in America, in many ways, is the church. We got to get out of the way. We got to get our ego and our styles and our preferences, and all that garbage doesn't matter. Lights and happening and hip church, I mean, that's not going to save the world. We just got to love people in the name of Jesus. And I'm just begging us to be that church. I just want to be that church. What's going on back there? Y'all ready to do something? How long does it take somebody to put on a pair of shorts and a t-shirt? Seriously. I mean, Laura, I thought you were in charge of this.
I think we have two folks. Yep, two folks. Bobby said we have two.
Taylor,
folks.
I heard that, bro. It's like a musician. It's just like singing. You just repeat the chorus over again. Tell us one more time. How many people?
Two.
Got it. Okay. So, you know, a good church leadership model here when you sing is two. Oh, two. Love two. That you just keep singing it. And then eventually people believe that's the story. Isn't that the way that works? So, hey, Taylor, can you go hurry things up back there for me? He's paying me no attention now. Go rush things up for me. Yeah. Poor fellow. He's got a great voice, plays a great guitar. Now I've sent him into the gospel ministry. Yeah. So thanks for your patience. But how cool is it to see a couple people baptized at the end of service? Isn't that cool? Yeah. I love that. By the way, when this is all said and done, I think we closed in on 30 people baptized already since the beginning of January. I don't say that to try to brag on anything, but to say clearly the Lord's doing something cool around here. And man, let's don't miss it. Let's don't miss it. Hey, has he hustled anybody up? Laura, what's the problem? Laura, go hustle things up, will you? Come on. You're Bobby's wife. I mean, surely you can make this happen. I mean, you're Bobby's wife. It's like you're the wife of the gospel John Ryder. I mean, okay. When the redhead starts swinging the mic, that's when you're in trouble. Yeah. Zach, can you help me out here?
I'm not sure I want to get in the middle of this right now.
That's probably a good point, but sing something.
Yeah, let's do it.
Help
let's
me out. How about that for a transition?
To take it back to the spiritual moment, that there is something just so special about being able to be together as the people of God and like celebrate God moving in people's lives. Like I never want to grow tired of celebrating.
No.
That. You know what I mean? Like, if we as the people of God can't celebrate something like this,
something's wrong.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
So this chorus just echoes in my heart. It echoes in my heart today. This is my testimony from death to life. Grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. Now I'm alive. This is my testimony from death to life. This grace rewrote my story, and I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. As that just seeps into our hearts and into our souls today, as we just resonate with that truth.
Amen.
Man, I'm just reminded that there's always room for more.
Amen.
There's always room for more. And when we do what Pastor Chuck has described today, and we just let Jesus work in us that he might work through us, oh, I can't wait to see what God might do. I cannot wait to see what God might do. So I carry a sense of expectation. Even as we sang this bridge today, I carried a sense of a little bit of anticipation and expectation into it. This phrase, if I'm not dead, then you're not done.
Come on.
Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. are still to come. Oh, I believe.
Amen.
Amen. We love that line because it's so true that as long as we have breath in our lungs, God's not done with us. Isn't that true? We're all on this journey. And so I'm so excited for Shane Smith today. He's here with his sweet wife. Shane said that he was baptized at a young age and later in life came to really understand what that meant and to own it. And so Shane, is that your testimony that you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus?
Yes.
Amen. Bless Amen. God. Well, we're super proud of you. This is a church that loves you. This is a wife that adores you. And so it's my privilege to baptize you now, my brother in Christ, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in a brand new life. Marcus said it's surprisingly warm right here. Come on in. You have a seat. This is Marcus Heron and his wife. And oh, wow, you made it back here. So awesome.
My wife and baby.
How old's your little one?
Almost 8 months.
8 months. What a cutie.
I have a three-year-old in childcare and two teenagers.
I love it. I love it. Well, we're capturing it here as well. Melly, our paparazzi, baptism paparazzi. Marcus, have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus? Do you believe that he saved you and you want to live for him? Amen. Based on your profession of faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried just like Jesus was, raised to walk with a brand new life. Pastor, it's been an incredible morning. There's a few more that are still having conversations right now. So if you want to sing a little bit, we'll see if we've got a couple more today as well.
I know some of y'all got to go. You can go. I promise you, you can go. But you're always welcome to stay. So, Taylor, y'all got it done. I'm proud of you. I mean, had it not been for you two, I don't know that we'd have made it. So thank you. Life without musicians would be so boring. Hey, I want to thank y'all for being here. I know some of you got to leave, so as you leave, just know, man, we love y'all. Thank you for being the kind of church that would do this. It just doesn't happen everywhere, man. How good is God, right? Just how good is God? So I want to go ahead and give you a blessing. If you're new around here, oh, you got two more? Let's do it. Let's do it. Come on.
Come on in. Yeah. This is Kaylee. Kaylee, has there been a moment that you've put your faith and trust in Jesus? Have you dedicated your life to him? Amen. She said, I think that's so important to do that. Based on your profession of faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm privileged to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in a brand new life. Amen. Are you a little brother? Come on in.
Come on now.
That's pretty amazing. Come sit right around the corner there. If you just want to sit right there, perfect. So we all claim Kevin? Kevin, have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus? Based on your profession of faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in a brand new life.
Wow. All right, Pastor Bobby, way to go, buddy. Way to make it happen, John. That was crazy good. Let me leave you this blessing. We're going to go eat. I mean, I feel chips and salsa are just that close. Let this Jesus go before you and make a way and make your crooked path straight. That's what he does. Let Jesus go within you, bring you peace and joy, fulfillment and contentment, because he is always good and you are always loved. And when days get difficult, and they will, let that Jesus come along and pick you up and carry you, not around the problem, but through the middle of it, only to set you down victoriously on your two feet and wipe away your tears and kiss you on the forehead and wrap his big loving arms around you so you can hear up close and personal your Savior say, "My child," say it with me, "I love you." I love you, church. God bless you. Go in peace.